And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Good morning. It is good to be here this morning, and I want to extend a heartfelt welcome to each and every one of you, to those that attend regularly, and obviously also to our guests. Welcome here, and we trust that we would be blessed as we worship and fellowship together this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, we'll continue through the Gospel of John. We'll be in John chapter 10 this morning. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 21, the first half of the chapter. In this allegorical picture of the Good Shepherd, not only do we see the practice of ancient Eastern customs, but much more importantly, this morning we, through the text, will see the heart of Jesus. Chapter 10 picks up where chapter 9 left off, the healing of the blind man that was blind from birth. There's no indication at the ending of chapter 9, at the beginning of chapter 10, that there is a change of time, setting, or even people involved. We see that from verse 21. So Jesus is still speaking to the same group of people, mainly, I think, basically, the unbelieving Jewish leaders. During World War I, some Turkish soldiers tried to steal a flock of sheep from a hillside near Jerusalem. The shepherd, who had been sleeping, suddenly awakened to see his sheep being driven off on the other side of the ravine where his sheep were grazing. He couldn't hope to recapture his flock by force single-handedly, but suddenly he had a thought. Standing up on the one side of the ravine, he put his hands to his mouth and gave his own peculiar call, which he used each day to gather his sheep to himself. The sheep heard the familiar sound. For a moment they listened, and then hearing it again, they turned and rushed down the one side of the ravine and back up the other side toward their shepherd. It was quite impossible for the soldiers to stop the animals. The shepherd was away with them to a place of safety before the soldiers could even make up their minds whether to pursue the animals or not. All because the sheep knew the voice of their shepherd. This morning, for an outline, we will see the good shepherd leads his sheep, the good shepherd lavishes his sheep, and number three, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man may enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Thus far, may God bless the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you at this time. God, we thank you for the morning. We thank you for the beautiful morning that you have granted to us. We thank you for this day that you have set aside, the Lord's day, that we can enter together, gather together as a body of believers to worship you, to have fellowship with one another. Father, I pray that you would help us to perhaps lay aside things that may be occupying our mind of the world this morning. We pray that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to comprehend your truths this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. In this allegorical picture, Jesus begins his figure of speech with the words verily, verily, or truly, truly, depending on your translation, which means listen carefully. For what Jesus is about to say is going to require attentiveness. And we find that even though he said that, the people still didn't understand it. To understand what Jesus is saying in this passage, we need to understand ancient Eastern livestock practices, which are very different from today in our part of the world. The sheepfold would be a community fence often made of stone walls with just one opening, and it was a large area. At the end of the day, after the flocks had grazed, the local shepherds would bring their herds of sheep into this community pen or this community fence. Then together, they would hire someone to watch the sheepfold overnight. Usually the person that was hired would just have to guard the door. Then in the morning, the shepherds would come and call his own sheep with his distinctive voice and his own distinctive call. Often, or sometimes, calling his sheep by name. First, they lift their heads as they're in the fold and they listen. Is it his voice or not? Then they hear, and when they have verified his tones, they move obediently towards their shepherd. Only the sheep that belong to that shepherd are the ones that hear his voice and respond to him by walking toward him. The sheep who belong to the shepherd will make their way to the doorway and follow their master to grazing pastures, while all the other sheep pay absolutely no attention to the call of the shepherd. In fact, not only will they not respond to a stranger like that, sometimes they will flee, they will scatter without hearing the familiar voice of their shepherd. They know without the voice of the shepherd, they have no care and no protection because they don't know the voice of the stranger. Much like the opening illustration. If someone attempts to enter the sheepfold other than the door, perhaps maybe by climbing over the wall, is obviously up to no good. It was the thieves and the robbers who wouldn't go through the door or go through the doorkeeper, but try to enter in some other way other than going through the gate. Only the shepherds who cared for the sheep and owned the sheep, entered the door. They, unlike the robbers and the thieves, had nothing to hide. They had every right to go through the door. The gatekeeper gladly and willingly opens the door for the shepherd. There's no resistance. There's no need to fight the shepherd off because the sheep belong to him. The gatekeeper has this keen awareness within himself that the shepherd cares far more for the sheep than he ever will. He has an intimate knowledge of his sheep that he will never have. You know, the scriptures repeatedly illustrate and compare us humans as sheep. And in some ways, that doesn't say a lot. Because in many ways, we're like sheep. We need a shepherd. We need guidance. Without the protection of a shepherd, we are no help against the enemy or the world. We wander off. We're prone to wander off and do our own thing. Isaiah says it so well. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to its own way. We are lost, friends, without a shepherd. And the good news is this morning that we have a shepherd. Now again, Jesus uses the double verily or truly, truly. This time he makes another one of his I am statements in the Gospel of John. He says, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus calls himself the door, declaring that God's true sheep will enter through him and only by him. He says, all who came before him were thieves and robbers, referring to Israel's religious leaders within the immediate context. You know, back in Ezekiel's day, God had some strong words to say to the shepherds of Israel as he sent them a message through his prophet Ezekiel. I want to just turn to Ezekiel chapter 34 just to give us a bit of a background of what Jesus is referring to here. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Ezekiel 34. I'll read verses, well, I could probably read the whole chapter, but we'll read 34, 1 to 11. Ezekiel 34, verses 1 to 11. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do not feed themselves, that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Now, in the immediate context in John, John is writing and referring to the Pharisees who, for the most part, did not show genuine shepherd-like character qualities, like a true shepherd should and would. They are the ones described in Ezekiel chapter 34. Now, verse 9 in our text endorses what the rest of Scripture teaches. That Jesus is the door. One is saved only through Jesus Christ. No other way. Not by being good. Not by doing good works. Not by being religious. Not by some self-acclaimed teacher. But we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. There is no other way. Acts 4:12 says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given among under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2:5-6 says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. And if anyone teaches another way to be saved, that, friends, would be a false shepherd. I would like to take up just a brief moment, and I believe I am speaking on behalf of the entire church leadership at this time. A word of caution. I'd like to extend just a word of caution to you, that when you are listening to maybe somebody online or teaching, please use discernment. We are living in deceptive days, and make very sure that what you're listening to lines up with the Word of God. And if it doesn't, friends, do not listen. After Jesus affirms that he is the door, the only door, he then goes on to explain metaphorically what salvation looks like. He says that his sheep will go in and out and find pasture. In and out, meaning the sheep in the fold will be saved from danger. When they enter the sheepfold, they have protection, and they're with the shepherd's other sheep. Out of the fold, they have pasture. In and out does not mean that you come and go as you please. That's not how it works. In and out does not mean that you have salvation one day and you lose it the next. That's not what it means. Sheep need pasture. And here, within the Good Shepherd, they have plenty of room. They have plenty to graze, plenty of nourishment, and plenty of water. This sounds a lot like Psalms 23, verses 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. In and out has the idea of Old Testament covenant language. Deuteronomy 28 verse 6 says, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Psalm 121 verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That is God's covenant language. When the elders of Israel anointed David king, the people of Israel said to him, behold, we are your bone and your flesh. In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you, they say, who led us out, and it was you who brought Israel back in. And he says, you shall shepherd my people Israel. Not only is David seen as a shepherd over Israel, but also a commander of the army who leads his people out. And David, being the good shepherd, he makes sure his sheep come back with him. Those who are Jesus' sheep are in a covenant with him. And friends, the good shepherd is a covenant keeper. He will not break a promise. He says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, referring not to the true shepherds of Israel, but false shepherds who do Satan's will, and clearly have ulterior motives, which are the opposite of the true shepherd who cares for his sheep. Sheep stealers only oppress the sheep because the sheep do not know their voice, nor do they follow them. So they are left with no option but to chase them as opposed to leading them. A common practice is sheep need to be led, not chased, not rounded up like cattle. They destroy. The interests of the thieves only have evil intentions for the sheep. They have no protection under the burdensome control of a thief. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, however, gives his sheep abundant life. Plenty. More than plenty. This is cup running over life. By contrast, a life without the care of the shepherd is empty, it is dull, it is meaningless. were nothing but a wanderer. According to John, this abundant life doesn't start someday when we die and go to heaven, friends. This abundant life starts here and now. And it is first and foremost, it is a spiritual life. It is eternal life. And that, friends, is what makes it abundant life. Paul's response to abundant life is echoed in Romans chapter 5, verse 20. He says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Friends, do you know the Good Shepherd who gives us abundant life? Friends, can you truly say that the Lord is my shepherd, that I have no desire but him? You know, the hymn writer, Clara T. Williams, she wrote the song, Satisfied. She understood it. And I love the last verse she writes, "Well of water, ever springing, bread of life, so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me." Friends, I trust that we can say that too. The abundant life that Jesus gives is a life of purpose. It is a life of meaning. The life he gives is the means by which we live a life that is not just about ourselves. It's a life that lives to bring him glory. And that is our chief aim in life, is to bring glory to God. Thirdly, Jesus explains what the Good Shepherd does for his sheep. He tells them how far the goodness of the shepherd goes in caring for his sheep. It extends to the point of voluntarily laying down his life for his sheep. You know, in this passage, we have seen Jesus use many contrasts. There is the contrast of climbing over the wall versus going through the door, the contrast of the shepherd and the thieves and the robbers. Now he makes a contrast of the good shepherd and the hired hand. The hired hand, in contrast to the shepherd, will abandon the sheep in times of danger, putting himself before the flock. The hired hand is also a contrast to the thieves and robbers. The latter come with intentions to destroy, but the hired hand, under normal, safe circumstances, he'll watch over the sheep, but he does it only if he gets paid enough. The moment the hired hand senses danger, like a wolf or some other ferocious animal, he flees. His mindset is, I don't get paid enough to put my life in danger for these animals, and he runs. Which leaves the flock in its most vulnerable state. Sheep, by nature, friends, are no match for a wolf. Wolves have been known to take down large prey, much larger than themselves. They are determined hunters. In the ordinary life of a shepherd caring for his sheep, this was one of the great hazards, as wolves would attack the sheep if there was the slightest carelessness on the part of the shepherd. The wolves would sense it if they had an opportunity to grab one. Sheep, by nature, are not able to protect themselves, certainly not from wolves. And this is where the shepherd, by his rod and his staff, and if need be, his sword and spear come in. As mentioned before, David is a type of Christ. And when he was persuading King Saul to allow him to go and fight giant Goliath, he used his shepherd skills to prove that he is able to take down this tyrant. He said, "When a lion or a bear took a lamb from the flock, David rescued the lamb from the predator's mouth, and he says, if the animal would come after him, he would grab it by its beard, and he would jab his spear into it. And he would kill the animal. The true shepherd has something for the sheep that the hired hand does not have. And that is affection. He must feel something for the sheep if he's going to put his life in danger. Otherwise, he wouldn't do it. Friend, if the shepherd is willing to go so far to lay down his life for the flock, then they must be extremely dear to him. You know, coming from the dairy farm, I believe I can honestly stand before you and say this, that I don't ever recall desiring to put my life before the life of a Holstein cow. Much different from ancient Eastern practices. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. That statement alone tells us about the understanding between the shepherd and the sheep. Jesus just defined the relationship between himself and his sheep in the uttermost possible way, making the comparison even closer to any other relationship here on earth. But you know something, friends? What Jesus says next even takes it to a whole nother level. Jesus declares that he knows his sheep just as the Father knows him, and he knows the Father. Verses 14 and 15. I'm going to read it in the ESV. This is an extreme, friends, I want us to get this. This is an extremely profound statement. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Church, the relationship between the eternal, omniscient Father and the eternal, omniscient Son is the ultimate example of shared personal knowledge between two. It doesn't get higher than that. It doesn't get closer than that. No shared relationship goes back, further back, or contains more joy, or contains more grief than between the immutable Son and the immutable Father. No emotions could be more genuinely felt or expressed than what the Almighty Father and Son feel for each other and communicate to each other. And Jesus says, this is how well I know my sheep. That is an extremely profound statement. The relationship between the Father and the Son is just simply beyond our own comprehension. Jesus' care and affection and knowledge of his sheep is likened to the Father and Son's relationship. Please ponder that throughout the week. Jesus' relationship with his lambs is portrayed as an intimate, trusting relationship in which Jesus, the Good Shepherd, cares deeply for those in his charge. The Good Shepherd knows the most intricate details of our lives. And he cares for you with an endearment that we will never fully understand this side of eternity. When Jesus expressed his care and concern for his own, he illustrated it by saying that even the hairs on your head are all numbered. He knows about every minute detail about us and our lives. Therefore, friends, whatever it is that you're going through, He will see you through. The victory is yours in Him. And I trust that you can take comfort in that. You know, as we wrap up this passage, we have a bit of irony here. Jesus' sacrificial death is likened to a lamb being slaughtered as an offering or sacrifice, and offered for His lambs that belong to Him. According to Jesus, for that reason, the Father loves Him. Because He voluntarily lays down His life so that He can take it again. No one takes His life from Him, but He lays it down of His own accord. And that, friend, is how love is God's love is demonstrated. But God demonstrated His love for us that while we were yet sinners, unlovable, Christ died for us. This is the Good Shepherd giving His life for the sheep. This is important to understand. Yes, even though there were human agents involved around the death of Jesus, around the whole crucifixion scene, and they will be judged justly, but none of the people surrounding the crucifixion scene had any power or any authority over Jesus' life whatsoever. We need to know that. Not Pilate, contrary to what he might believe. Not the high priest. Not the Pharisees. Not the Roman guards. And most definitely not Judas Iscariot. Jesus laid down His life by His own choice and obedience to the Father. At a casual glance of the whole Easter story, of the Good Friday story, of the whole crucifixion scene, it can appear, that Jesus is not in control due to being submissive to the Father's will. But friends, Jesus is in absolute control at that point and today. If He has power over life and death, rest assured, He is in control. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Revelation 1:5, He is the King of the rulers of the earth. Contrary to what they may believe, He is the Sovereign One. John Calvin had rightly said, the obedience of Christ is the most important circumstance of His death, for it was in obedience unto death that He satisfied divine righteousness. R.C. Sproul also said it so beautifully. He said, Jesus laid down His life for the sheep to save His sheep from something far worse than wolves and thieves and robbers. He laid down His life to save them from the wrath and the judgment of God. And if we think and if we believe that we can come through Jesus come to God other than through the door, Jesus, then friends, we will come face to face with the wrath and the judgment of God. Because any other way would be an insult to Him, considering His wonderful, eternal plan of redemption. That is an insult to Him. Jesus always has been, always will be, the only way to God. John writes, and again, and he means again, there was a division among the Jews because of the words that Jesus had spoken. This blows me away. This is the third time in John's gospel there was a division among the Jews. Chapter 7, verse 43, chapter 9, verse 16. Some certainly lack discernment due to saying that he has a demon as insane. Others have little bit of insight, saying, these are not the words of him who has a demon. The Good Shepherd had just clearly and beautifully illustrated his love for the sheep. And they say he has a demon? The Jews knew very well a demon does not love. A demon does not heal. A demon would fall under the category of killing and destroying and robbing. The division, friends, is the result of not hearing and not knowing the true shepherd's voice. That's the reason for the division. Which links the preceding chapter to the conversation of the Good Shepherd who loves his sheep so dearly, he willingly lays down his life for them because he cares for them. Friends, that is our Lord and Savior. And may we worship him. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you at this time. We thank you for this hour. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you are the Good Shepherd and you care for your own and you know your own intimately. And we thank you for that. And we pray, Father, that that would give us grace and energy to persevere, to keep going. We thank you for your love. And we thank you, Lord, for what you have in store for us yet in the future. We know, God, that the best is yet to come. And we pray, Father, that our eyes would be fixed upon that day in eternity one day when we will see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.
Says I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as
From today's passage, we can say that Jesus truly does love us. Even when we do things that are not lovable, which we all do, he remains faithful. In the span of our lives, he has been with us the longest, when you think about it. It was him and the Father who intricately knitted us together in our mother's womb. As the Good Shepherd, no one has shown more commitment to our good. No one has journeyed more loneliness and pain to redeem us. No one has made better promises to us. He has shown himself worthy in every way. Oh, how he loves us. We can have no doubts about his motives or his intentions about us. We must not distrust him. We must not resent him. This world is a world of insecurity and uncertainty, but Jesus is our anchor, and he will remain our anchor. He has bought us. And friends, since he has bought us, may we be his. All of his. He will lead us through the journey that ends here one day. And yes, that day is coming. And he'll take us where he reigns with breathtaking glory. May we, friends, persevere to that end. Let's bow for the benediction. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You are dismissed, and may God's peace and grace go with each and every one of you. God bless.